the blessings of the love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Feels like it has happened, where I had been going along in a particular paradigm, and I wasn't really 100% aware of it, then ran into a mirror that presented the paradigm.
And became 100% aware.
And became 100% aware, kind of like a flash. And it was really fascinating, because there was, and this has happened before, where I had this moment where it was like, became really clear, like, whoa, there's my whole life right in front of me. And there were a couple tracks that were very clear that had opened up in front of me.
You mean old habitual tracks or new?
Well, tracks that were possible to go down once that information had come through, which is like the track of, oh boy, this is really horrible, just give up, this is, you know, there's no... There's nothing you can do about this.
That would be the condition track.
That would be the condition track, yeah. That's kind of like the karma that had been designed to set up so that I get to that point. And just, anyway, that was really helpful to see too, but the other one...
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because that's what it's trying to get to.
Yes.
You know, you're supposed to actually run into a mirror eventually and see, and then all this thing comes up, and then draw, make this conclusion that will, you know, kind of take you out of practice.
Yeah, very much so. And the other side of it was that there was a whole avenue of possibility that felt like it had opened up as well too. So it was almost like the phrase went like, well, given that, what now more in the sense of like, well, given that this had been the paradigm that had been going on for a while, it's like, What would be the thing that would assist me through that?
Yeah, I think you almost said, given that, what's possible?
Yes, yeah, I kept saying possible so many times. I'm just trying to find
it. It's a good word, though.
Oh, it's a perfect word.
Yeah, because, well, it's interesting, because you used the word avenue, too. And to me, avenue says, you know, wide and spacious,
yes,
and lots of room in it, you know. A lot of, you know, can really move down an avenue, and then you've got this little tiny, like rocky path towards suffering on this other side.
yeah, and it's just been a really neat time, because what I heard myself saying as the karma was coming up to defend itself, to reinforce why it was that this paradigm was important to keep in place, was, well, basically, I don't know how. I don't know what, it was like a lot of confusion around it, which is, you know, how mild conditioning keeps it very much stuck in the same place. Like, well, there's nowhere to go with this now.
It's kind of like in politics when they do damage control. You know, you've been out of it.
So damage control. It's okay. I'm interested.
Well, they, something happened. You know, somebody does something really unfortunate, the president or somebody, and then whoever's on their side does damage control, and they come out that, well, that didn't really happen, or it was really like this, or just big cover over to try to deal with the ruptures that happen as a result of that.
Yes. Yeah, that's really good. That fits very much with that. It's like, what's neat was that the mirror never wavered in the fact that that I wasn't seeing the possibility, that other avenue, in that kind of in that way of folding that back in, was keeping me from seeing the possibility. So I'll just be really clear in this, that in all that confusion, I don't know how to do this. There's somebody there that knows how to do this.
Yeah.
And that's what all that was covering up, was that there's somebody there who knows how to do this really well.
And just to do this, you mean do practice.
Do practice.
To end suffering.
Do practice and suffering anything, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, because it's almost like if I've successfully done one thing, it can really be applied in whole sorts of different avenues. Mm-hmm. What's really neat is that the paradigm was, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to try my best to try to describe this, but it's like, I know how to do this when it's something that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And this is the interesting part. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can make stuff happen if it's going to work out for me.
Right. So what that actually means, of course, is I'm willing to do this, and I can make this happen.
That's
if
right.
It's good for ego.
Yes. Yeah, if it's good for ego. And so I can make stuff happen for practice in the same way. It's almost like we talk about there's tons of willingness. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what we're willing for. Mm-hmm. And so I could put all my energy over here into this for me, I, whatever. Or I can take that same amount of energy and apply it toward what will benefit all or anything, actually.
So it's a basic sort of skill or it's basic quality of you is making stuff happen and whatever that means.
That's right.
Up to this point, occasionally, sometimes at least, conditioning has been capturing that and has been turning that ability into creating something for it.
Correct.
So it's like I can't think of the right way to say it, like reverse channeling it or something.
But right.
It's grabbing that and it's using it through you.
Yes.
To support itself.
Yes, correct.
And then this mirror came up, and I think what you mean by that is, I don't know, it's usually around here, it's usually, the guide, or the monastery in some form. It's some, you ran into something or somebody that said, no, that's not how we're going to do it, or it needs to be this other way, or have you considered, or something like that.
Or this is what's going on.
Or, okay.
Flat out, just saying, saying it the way it is, describing this paradigm that had been up until that point completely, a little bit fuzzy, it's like what keeps coming up to me, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to articulate this story well, but it's like Sherry told us once about, or it's in a book somewhere where she got every sentence that she'd ever said started with I and ended with me, and she just like fell on the floor, that she was like, and just stunned by that. This is one of those.
This is one of those.
This is one of those. And
so obviously, I project, but it seems pretty obvious. This is so that we've all been there, of course. You're describing monastic training. Right. So we've all been there many, many, many times, and I think we all know that there's two choices there always for all of us, which is ego gets revealed, and we have a choice between siding with ego mm-hmm. against the mirror and against the guidance, mm-hmm. or siding with the guide and the guidance against ego.
Yes.
And obviously you've decided for choice B.
Choice B, and the amount of energy that has just opened up into everything that before that was, I don't know how, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's impossible, this is mm-hmm. too challenging, all of a sudden, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, so what is possible?
Well, what is possible is that, well, everything that I think that I need to go and get and find and is out there and I don't know how to do, it's a lie. Like, it's always been inside. Mm-hmm. It's just been used for mm-hmm. for evil. Mm-hmm. You know? It's mm-hmm. like that, you know, the Scooby-Doo ending, you know, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids. You know? And it's like, that's what it's all aiming toward, and mm-hmm. what we're doing is we're just rechanneling it to get the energy back mm-hmm. to what it is that is possible. And what is possible is that it's always there. Mm-hmm. It's always there. And that the illusion is that it's somewhere else, or mm-hmm. that it's, I don't know mm-hmm. how else to describe it, or it's yeah. covered up. Or mm-hmm.
So you can take that which is in you and you can apply it for good.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Alice gets included in that good, obviously. And yeah. so does anybody else who happens to be around
yes.
Alice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just floored.
Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky, aren't we, that we
are
have
tremendously lucky. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we could go through decades without running into something like that.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just, it just presents itself as so, so benign, you know, so small, but it's like, it's vast. It's like, it's covered the expanse of my entire life, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this mm-hmm. thing has been going on all this time. Like, mm-hmm. all of this was designed mm-hmm. to keep all that little place in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where I was, Kevin, I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but you know, if you take one more step back from that, it always seems to me like all of this is designed to get you to exactly where you are right now.
Yes, yeah. Like there was no mistake in any of it.
Uh-huh.
That everything is perfect in exactly the way mm-hmm. that it has happened.
Yeah, it took all of that to get you to this realization.
And who knows if all of that had been leading up to it, that the mirror that was necessary at this moment was put up because I would be able to see mm-hmm. and do something about it. Because it would be really easy to throw up that mirror early on. Mm-hmm. And who knows, that mirror early on could have led to choice A, you know, mm-hmm. that rocky road of like, oh, forget it, this is...
Well, it's probably been thrown up any number of times.
Now that you say that, it has been actually constantly. Yeah. It's just that it was subtle before, you know. Some need exacting means, Dave.
What's that?
Some people need exacting means.
Yes.
Remember that reading from...
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, some people, I can't remember how it goes, but basically, so you can handle some people gently, but some people need more exacting means.
Exactly. Yeah, it's translated to the 2x4. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so grateful for the 2x4.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's just so how it is, isn't it? Because, you know, we're just getting clobbered all the time.
We are. We're just been numb.
We have calluses and it just bounces off.
Like Teflon or something like that. Yeah.
And then one day it's the right time.
Yeah.
And it all comes together and we just get it.
Yeah. And then there's enough energy and practice behind it to just turbo boost, you know, with that. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know how this, anyhow, I'm going to just say this and just go on, but it's like a springboard, you know, like, I don't know how they put it, breakdown leads to mm-hmm. Failure, or it can be a springboard mm-hmm. to possibility, and it depends on what we do with it.
Yeah, how much willingness we have,
exactly.
Or whether we are willing for that.
That's true, yeah, because mm-hmm. we all have the willingness for everything, mm-hmm. it's just what.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alice. Can't wait.
Well, it was very, very good, and yeah, very familiar.
Uh-huh.
And what a metaphor was coming up for me as I was listening to that, on the property here, there's a lot of soapstone, which is a very soft rock that can be carved very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I found out about that and started to carve with it, but just a little pocket knife. I didn't even have any special tools. But I started thinking I was going to try to get this certain particular thing. I don't even remember what I started thinking I was going to carve, but I had an image of what I was going to carve out of this rock. And what he was talking about just reminded me of, like, we are, when we start practice, like a rock, you know, and practice carves out of that rock something beautiful that's in there all the while, but kind of unrealized. I mean, a piece of soapstone can be very pretty just the way it is, but, you know, so I'm just kind of seeing how experience and practice and 2x4s and awareness kind of just are chipping out, you know, and you think of, each of us thinks of our shape or whatever our soapstone looks like as who we are, you know, and it's hard to let go of, you know, it was hard for me to let go of what I thought I was carving out of this piece of stone.
All of this is me. You can't take any of this away.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what I'm made of. This is me. So as I carved, and I don't even know exactly how it happened. It was like I'd never carved anything or done anything like this. But as I carved, something just happened, and it came out as a fish. I had no idea there was a fish in that rock. And it was a lovely fish at that, you know, kind of had this graceful kind of, like a fish in the water, you know. And I was just, that whole thing came back to me as Alex was talking about the possibility and how, you know, experiences just chip away at what we think is who we are.
And we don't know what's in there until it shows up.
We don't know our fishness or whatever else is in there that, you know, may not be something that occurred to us yet, and you know, like the practice and the guide are sort of like carvers, right? They don't know either. You know, it's like it's just working. It's all working together, and whatever is in there, and you know, somebody else may have worked with that stone, and a bunny may have come out of there or something. You know, but
The guide can see what doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
You know, this does not belong to this person, so we need to chip this out.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, that doesn't belong to you. We need to get that out.
Yeah. And the person's going, no, that's my chip.
I love about that. It's just so much my experience is that we're not doing the carving. That's what you've implied.
Life, experience, practice, and we don't even see what it's doing to us, and yet, you know, as was just explaining, wow, now I'm seeing some fishness in here, and when I see it, then I know it's been there all along. I just wasn't able to see it until practice and guidance and 2x4s and whatever helped that part of me emerge from what I'm holding on to, thinking is really who I am.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We get glimpses of it. I wonder if we could ever actually see it.
Yeah.
You know
what?
Yeah, you know, I have this feeling, I don't know if it will this way, but you know, your moment of death, you're heading out, leaving the body, you look down and say, oh, of course. Look how look how beautiful this person is, and we could really see it. It'd be nice
to I can totally imagine that too, because just as the awareness that was just being described, that's the experience. Oh, I totally see that. I can imagine it. That same thing.
And it seems like what we bring to it is our willingness to be carved in that way.
And sometimes, the resistance is part of it. That we, you know, if we stay and go through the resistance, that seems like the willingness. That's required.
Ultimately. Just don't quit.
Just
keep showing up. Keep showing up, and it'll happen. It's inevitable, it seems like. Let's see, Jen.
It's fun. As people are talking, I'm looking at, I realize something I've been looking at, that place where we don't do it, and yet we have a role to play in some
way. It's very mysterious.
It's very mysterious, yeah. Actually, this image, Pastor, when I was looking at this recently, especially, so let's say, in a hard place, I haven't thought about this for quite some time, but just it flashed through when Sadie was so sick, when we first got her.
When she was a puppy?
When she was a puppy, she had parvo, like within a very short time of us getting her. And so she was at the vet, and there's nothing they can do for parvo. There's no cure for it, and it's quite lethal. Like, it's very common for puppies to die of it. And so I remember them saying, when we were talking to them about it, all we can do is just support the dog as their immune system fights it. It makes me emotional when I think about it. And she was little, you know, she's still a puppy. And so I just remember her in there, just in this little, you know, this little thing. And we actually have pictures of it. Oh my God. And she's, her paws wrapped up because they've got an IV in it. And she just, her ears are totally drooped. She was throwing up, you know, diarrhea. Like, nothing was in her system.
Nothing's working.
And God, we would call the vet every day. And she stopped throwing up. No, she threw up again this morning. You know, that sort of thing. And he would just say, we're waiting for her system to kick in so she can start holding things down. But meanwhile, you know, we're hydrating her. So I just got this image of, God, that's our job.
I love that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. That we're just completely caring for the being and supporting the system as it does what it knows to do. As life kind of does what it, that carves us, I guess, would be an image for it.
Yeah, and we really have no part in it other than that. Doing. It's funny. I wonder, you know, from the vet's point of view. I mean, I bet what happens there is still mysterious.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's just basically there's this thing, life, that's in this dog, and somehow, if it is going to go that way, it's going to pull her through this. And there's biological things with that, but it's deeper than that.
Yeah.
So same with us. There's something in us that is heading towards freedom.
Yeah, and we can't know, like, you know, let's see, how to say it, it's a big place, like, we can't even say it's good that she survives and bad that she doesn't. I mean, we don't know. You know, I remember someone talking recently, a group, about, I think, having poison oak on their hand and how it just, you know, if it's bad enough, poison oak just does bizarre things to your skin, and then just to watch it heal itself. And I mean, we're walking around in the big, for me, I'm walking around in this body as if it's mine, and I know this person, and this is me. And yet, like, 99.99999% of what's going on, I have no idea what it is and how it's doing.
Yeah, it's funny. If the rules were suddenly changed and you had to take responsibility for it, you just dropped in.
Oh, God, I got to make the heartbeat, and then the ball's filled, and then what's the other thing to do? Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. And so to have this illusion somehow that I'm in charge, and I got to
practice,
it's crazy. Uh-huh. It's completely crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that. And yet we have a role to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That there really is, you know, we just finished our retreat, and it's just so moving to see that it feels like what we're all learning in practice is how to show up for this being in the ways that we can, in the ways that are appropriate for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a mystery, because it's why the razor's edge is, for me, such a good image, because, gosh, the habit is to look to ego for what to do and how to be. And so, of course, as we learn, oh, wow, I can really show up for this being, it's just so incredibly easy to slip into, the ego. How to do that, and what does that look like? I'm in charge, and I can make, oh, I see. Okay, I know. I understand. Boy, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at it, too, in the retreat. There was this one particular story I heard about someone's life and what had happened to this person, and afterwards I was looking at it saying, God, you know, he did this amazing thing to move out of work, to go from where he was to where he got to, and I was like, well, he didn't really, life did that. But then, yeah, but he really did that. Yeah. And then I was looking at it in terms of myself and what's happened for me. It's like, I've done this, but I haven't done this, but yet I've done this. And there's this place in there that's just, it's a really big place.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, you can't really talk about it.
Yeah. It seems like, as you say that, the image I got is kind of, our job is to kind of get on board. Again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I just so often these days find myself sort of saying prayers along the lines of, okay, I'm doing my best to do my part. I'm just going to drink plenty of water, get exercise, and I'm going to count the breath, and I'm thinking you'll take care of the rest. And if there's anything I need to know, I'm wide open. If you'd be willing to give it to me in a way I can understand, I'd be really grateful. You know, but whatever you think, I'm up for it. Whatever you think.
Yeah, and it really is a whatever you think, right? Because it could be something. Yeah. Oh God, this is what I've been trying not to have happen for forever.
Exactly.
But that attitude in mind, it kind of like we know. Okay, yes, this too. Yeah. This too is a part of getting me to where I need to go.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because the other thing that was coming up for me was that peace quote that we referred to recently of, I can't remember what it was, but the one about why do we assume that this depression, this sadness, this difficulty, why do we push it away?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that that's not doing some, this is totally butchering it, rephrasing, but some, the work inside that that's doing, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can that not be part of it? It's here.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Mm-hmm. How do we know that's not exactly what we need right now?
Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we do know. I mean, that is exactly
it is
what we need, because it's happening.
That's the magic of doing something like walking around in a barrel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it acknowledges is, I don't know. And I'm willing for all of it, which completely, it doesn't change anything about life, but it changes my relationship with everything.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. Yeah. And when we make that movement, it really does seem like everything, you know, divine intervention, you know, just everything is being orchestrated out of this place of unbelievable compassion.
Yes, yeah. So instead of my attention is constantly drawn to what's not right, and oh God, I don't like that, and how can I get it? The attention is always drawn to, wow, more guidance, oh, wow, that, and it's not all quote good, you know, like was being talked about before. It's big, it's painful, it's difficult, it's fascinating, it's interesting, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when the attention is on that, whoa, more, oh, it's just so different.
It's just gone, yeah. And there's that fun kind of middle place in there. It's like, well, this sure is going to be interesting. It's like, how could this possibly go this way?
Yeah.
Well, it's going wherever I need to go, obviously.
Yeah. I love that in that first conversation of, okay, well, if we come from the place of life is always caring for me perfectly, in some way that maybe I can't see in this very initial moment, in some way, this is exactly what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we may never know. I don't know. It seems like we know on some level that it is the way that you just said.
Yeah.
And so then we just let's just let go and let's just go with it.
Yeah. Just put that IV in and do what we can. Support the baby.
Uh-huh. That's great. Penny.
A couple of things came up in regard to this discussion. One was that sort of that we participate but we don't make it happen phenomenon. A number of years ago, I had this violent reaction to a medication, and as I learned about the subset of people in the world who have this kind of reaction to this medication, one of the things that kept coming up was that people think they're sort of past it, and then there are these periodic flashbacks where it all sets in again.
Yikes.
And I had the good fortune to know of a healer, a local healer, and so I went to this person and energetically, she removed it from my body. And she tried a number of times, and nothing, I mean, I wasn't aware of much of anything. And then all of a sudden, one day after being with this woman, I came home and I had this clear image of this sort of black, tarry stuff coming out of my heart and leaving my body. Huh. And I knew that it was gone.
That was it.
That was it. Huh. And I have not had that experience that people talked about, that periodic.
You haven't had a flashback.
I have not. Mm-hmm. And so that was my model. That was my powerful model. You know, that I had to put myself there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she did.
Mm-hmm.
I have no understanding how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But all I did was lie on the table.
Yeah. The other thing, so, you know, you just hit all the elements of the conversation this morning. The other one, of course, is you had to do your part. And you saw her out, and you had the willingness, and probably, I mean, with stuff like that, I don't really know, but I imagine, you know, if you're not willing to mm-hmm. sort of give yourself over to this process she's doing, it's not going to happen no matter what she does.
That's right. And this is it's interesting, too, because this is a healer I've known about for years. And I just thought it was really corny to go to something like that. It's not kind of united.
Yeah.
And so I had to bottom out in order to even be willing to go, which is also a piece of it.
Yeah, that's funny. That throws another element kind of into the little pie we're baking here. You know, you got to be desperate enough.
You got to be desperate. You have to have suffered enough to try anything. And the other thing that just came up, that just happened the other day, and I noticed it on the RLB call, so I wanted to say it, and it feels like it's connected somehow to this conversation, is... I know it is. It's connected to that notion of sort of readiness at certain moments. So I'm doing the 30-day retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the back of Making Change for Good book?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on day 12.
Okay.
And I'm on day 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's important because last time I did the 30-day retreat, which was the only time I've ever managed to complete it, it took me about 50 days.
Mm-hmm.
So to be on day 12, at day 12.
Oh, and it's actually the 12th day.
It's the 12th day. It's remarkable. And so, one of the things you have to look at in day 8, 9, 10, 11, is look at all the voices and the mm-hmm. people coming up who are not wanting to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find any right now. Mm-hmm. I cannot find anybody that wants to do this. I get out of bed and it's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. But what I caught that was so helpful in the RLB call was, I caught that I had just said into my recorder, These assignments are kind of a problem because I can't find any lack of willingness. And what I caught as I heard myself say that was, they're not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're just an interesting thing to observe.
Mm-hmm.
And so what felt so important was, what I realized is, I need to pay attention to what ego does in terms of inserting language that does not reflect my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Which it's doing constantly.
Which it's doing constantly. And I thought, it's like on a gross level, I see, for example, I have a great day and I have one thing that goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My conditioning will focus my attention mm-hmm. on that one thing. And I thought, at a more subtle level, this is the same thing it's doing. So if I hear myself say, well, this is a problem, then that substitutes for my experience of what's actually happening, which is just that this is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And your actual experience is huge. The problem is the size of a dot. But if all the attention goes there, it's as if that's everything.
And it isn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt so grateful for the RLB call and for the recording practice to catch how kind of habits of language that I'm used to using in certain kind of situations can take the place of the actual experience that I'm having. And I could walk around thinking that I'm in the middle of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If I check in with my experience, I am not.
Not actually.
So that was just great to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good.
Really helpful to see.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Chris.
So I've been relaxing as you're all over the topic, so it's great. I've been looking at how conditioning is kind of waiting as conditioning is coming in to fill some of the openings that occurred after the retreat was over.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of the requirement to have the attention focused during retreat, then it tends to happen.
A lot of opening.
a lot of spaciousness in terms of being in the moment.
Uh-huh.
That's filled by life, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So now and then, not so much, and then conditioning is coming in to fill in a little bit of those other spaces. And
which always happens after something like that.
Yeah.
Because the pressure's not on anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the those things, you know, where the star, supernova, you know, it's really, really big. When it gets big enough that it just sort of
starts to collapse. Yeah. Conditioning is rushing in as it's collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things that I've noticed. So one is a voice, let's see, a voice that gets desperate really quickly. So it begins to start pointing out how I'm not centered and, you know, starts in that direction. And then that gets coupled with body sensations. For me, it would be like a victim to personality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It feels really karmic. And mm-hmm. so, and painful sensations.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two together, they can be pretty deadly if I give my attention over to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that one that's desperate is really seeking to direct the attention, right? It says, I just have to have the attention. You know, there's a place where the attention just absolutely has to be, which is trying to get rid of the, you know, to do something that will alleviate the body sensation that, you know, feels painful in some way.
Now, is it that ultimately, or is it actually trying to alleviate the sensation of that expansion that conditioning can't
get? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gets called something else, like, oh, this is painful, or this is uncomfortable, but it's actually just open.
Yeah. So it's uncomfortable for that part that's coming in.
Yeah, okay.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me in that place, that's where it's so easy, because that desperation starts to direct the attention. It's easier to allow that to happen, and it's easy to let that be. Let's see how I say it. That I'll refer to conditioned mind more readily as mm-hmm. to where I am in that place.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that the way the attention is going is towards. It's being directed by conditioned mind.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's already conditioned mind's world, so who else would you go to solve a problem in conditioned mind other than conditioned mind? It just
That's
kind of makes sense.
Pretty much it. Yeah.
If you've got a plumbing problem, you need a plumber.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of inside of that. And let's see. So there's that piece of it. And then the other one is the body sensations. And it can sometimes be easy for me to confuse the idea of burning away karma and those kinds of body sensations. So if because there's a belief system about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the burning away karma piece might be those sensations are fine. Let's just sit with those. Here's the director coming in again. So mm-hmm. let's just sit with those. And, this is the place you want to be. You want to be where those sensations and just let them kind of be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another piece of it.
Yeah.
And as I experiment with that, what happens is they don't ever really change. So mm-hmm. it feels to me like that's the tip-off, that I'm not in a place of center at all. It's really just a ruse by conditioning mm-hmm. to set me up that, you know, I'm accomplishing something, that there's yeah. something that's taking place that's valuable in some sense that will take me away from center and something like that.
Yeah, tell me if this is what it is, just kind of in relationship to the conversation we've had this morning, that it's trying to get you into sort of the opposite of the place people have been talking about, where we bring to it just kind of our willingness and just like this kind of an empty, mm-hmm. you know, our hands are open. It's trying to get it to be, instead of that, to have somebody in there in charge and working it and
yep.
trying to make it happen.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a subtle place, isn't it? Because it seems like, because, you know, we have to, like we were saying earlier, we have our role. Is that what it was? We have our, we're bringing something to it. I can't remember how we're talking about it. But we're bringing something to it, so it's subtle, because it seems like the way to do that is you become somebody to do something.
Yeah.
But that's not the place people are talking about. And it sounds like conditioning is trying to pull you over into that place where you're believing in an I in relationship to all that, instead
yes.
of just sort of giving over to life to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when as I experiment with that, then it does get much more clear when I do give myself over to life.
Mm-hmm.
That, and, well, how would I say it? Because my karmic tendency is so much to give in to conditioning in that place. I'm highly trained to become that person that needs to do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the effort, not, it's not even an effort, but just that willingness to step back that step to see that it's not in the body sensations or any of the meanings, but it's in that director aspect of personality.
Yeah.
Where the disidentification begins to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sensations begin to subside. The mentor comes in, mm-hmm. and all that seems to happen.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about experimenting, do you mean essentially you're questioning?
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, because that to use that word, our language all implies an I, so it's really hard to talk about it.
Yeah.
But so that, what I'm projecting you're saying is, I'll see if I can say it, it's when it's not an I, that experimenting is not an I, continuing to be in there manipulating things according to its point of view and its ideas, but it's more like is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? Is that so? Is that so?
Yeah.
And then because it feels like that questioning doesn't really come from that eye. And then, we question this and we question this, and when we question them, it's like they fall apart, and this falls apart, and this falls apart, and then suddenly life is there, and life is in charge again.
Yeah, exactly. It is a tricky place, because that impulse to have to give the experiment to life, just to allow in that way, can be co-opted just like that,
mm-hmm.
by conditioning, pull, mm-hmm. Get back with the director. So in that, here's what it is. It's there's much more awareness for when I'm in that place. So that seems like that's what happens first. Is there's a sense of, and again, there's no words for it,
mm-hmm.
but it's like that realization, oh, this is that place.
Uh-huh.
And then there is, in that moment, there's a stepping back, but it doesn't seem anything has changed other than the viewpoint has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that feels like it's where roots divide kind of place, that it can slip back into it, or else the if I stay there just a little bit longer, then the opening will occur. There'll be more openness in that place.
Yeah, yeah. And I know for me, and what you're talking about, the thing that makes it most possible for life to come in and take over is a willingness for it to go wherever it's going to go.
That's it.
Because in that director, there's a preference.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to go this way, not this way.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I think that's what people have been talking about this morning. It's like, no, I mean, just take it however you want to take it. Just whatever. This could be heading towards the most painful thing, the most awful thing, the most humiliating thing. Exactly what I'm attempting to not have happen all the time. Yes.
Let's go there.
take me there. If that's what I need, right now, and only you know, life.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice.
Mm. Is there more?
No, I think that's got it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, one of the things I just was seeing in this conversation, and looking at the points where I come up against one of those mirrors that's like, I just don't like this, or I don't want this, or I wish this wasn't happening, or whatever. And that how much the temptation is to go with then figuring out what to do about that.
Mm-hmm. That's just what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So choosing to go down that road, which is what conditioning really wants me to do, get her off into, well, how do we solve this?
Yeah, it likes that just as much as resistance.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what I really realize the question is just, well, how do I be with me in this?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because conditioning wants me to believe that if it looks other than the way I don't like it, I'll be fine. But that's not always true.
No.
I could have the exact opposite experience and still be suffering as much as I am when I'm in that one. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about, in what you were saying just a minute ago, a fine mm-hmm. that's a completely different kind of fine than that, that's dependent on circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, I know if I just go with what is here and accept life and allow life to live through me wherever it's taking me, mm-hmm. I'm going to be absolutely fine no matter what happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like I really had this, you know, like this tree diagram show up sort of visually. So like here I am in that place that feels stuck and uncomfortable and whatever. And, you know, there are a lot of choices, but basically there are two. One is, you know, pay attention to everything, believe nothing, and don't take anything personally. Mm-hmm. And the other is, don't pay attention. Believe everything you're told and take it personally. Really, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah, it's not an either or.
It's like, okay, which one do you want?
Yeah.
You
know? And we find out, of course, as we experiment with that, that what we really, really, really do want is the practice side.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And I mean, that's what really takes care of the being, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. How would you say what that is that takes care of the being?
Just the, you know, I'm going to stay here, we're going to be in this together, mm-hmm. we're going to look at how it happens, we're not going to take that conditioning person's hand and go down mm-hmm. that road of figuring it out and
mm-hmm.
believing the stories and, you know, mm-hmm. it's, it's, you know, that somewhere in the Bible, you know, it says choose life and that's what it feels like to me. It's like what takes care of the being is choosing life, which is choosing the things we've been talking mm-hmm. about this morning, but just okay, take me.
mm-hmm. Me and you, life, we'll go through it.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. The life is kind of choosing directions, and life is accompanying us through that at the same time.
Yeah, and conditioning is just so opposite and antithetical to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is just, I mean, it's almost like, it just occurred to me, it's almost like you see where you get God and the devil out of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's easy to see how you would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Melinda.
It's been a really interesting morning because practically everything everybody has said has triggered things for me in my own experience that kind of illustrate what folks are saying, starting with the first one and the 2x4s and the mirrors, which is a very current experience.
Yeah, right? Have you noticed that we had a group, must have been a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, mm-hmm. where we were all talking about, we're in it, and you know, I actually came in a group this morning wondering if the retreat had kind of scrubbed up the energy a little bit, and it seems like that's the next thing that comes out of it. We go into it, there's the mirror, and then, whoa, there's possibility, there's energy, we're going someplace.
Yeah, yeah. Things click in. Somehow mm-hmm. things, the gears all begin to mesh instead of, and one of the things that was brought to mind was a little card that I've had for, I realize, 40 years or more, that has always been with me. It's one of those little Ashley Brilliant postcards. I don't know if any of you would remember him, but... and it's this person on a cliff in diving mode, and it says, if you don't do it, you'll never know what would have happened if you had done it. Which is a really, it often inspires me, and it includes things like not listening to the voices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what might it be like to actually stop listening to the voices? If I don't do it, I'll never know what would have happened if I had done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an experience over the last week or so. There was the 2x4 and the suggestion that stop listening to the voices.
Mm-hmm. We need to stop going to the lumberyard. We need to go there more.
and then what happened was I found, I have a strong karmic belief that I cannot organize, that it just doesn't work for me, that there's something about my brain that doesn't let things And I sat down after a couple of days of not listening to the voices as much as possible, and organization dropped in around something.
Whoa.
And it was like I watched it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And realized that it was happening and was just totally enjoying it.
That's funny. And in the way you're talking, it sounds like you weren't really making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Organization just kind of dropped in and just started doing stuff.
Yeah, and it's like that place that we talk of so often of the information came in. I didn't sit there and the way I usually try to do and make it be organized.
Mm-hmm.
It never works.
Well, that's probably exactly what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because it's like clogging up the channel.
Yeah, and the person's trying to do it who doesn't know how.
Right. And she doesn't actually want it to do it. She wants to remain in the belief that she can't do it.
And then she can be helpless and mm-hmm. all of those wonderful things that follow from that.
So you dropped her, you dropped your identification with her, and then the channel's open.
Yeah.
And then that which seems impossible just kind of drops in and starts...
Yeah, and that image of, I didn't know the fish was in there. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that capacity existed there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened after that was another mirror, another 2x4. And the experience was one of, instead of falling into conditioning and oh no, and oh God, and all of that, there was a standing and being able to not run off into all kinds of reaction, but simply to be there, respond, take in information.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, again, a whole different experience of something that had happened, Lord knows how many times before.
Yeah, and really, really in charge of your attention, it sounds like.
Yeah, that doesn't fit in description because that implies somebody's there doing something.
Yeah, well, I think that's the language that's implying that. But,
yeah.
I mean, because
yeah.
I mean, that's what our practice is learning how to direct attention.
Yeah, and I stayed present. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you stayed present and your attention was here.
Yes.
The karmic habit is for the attention to go in, oh my God, or I can't remember.
Up into whatever story, whatever aspect of the personality or whatever reaction. Yeah, and that didn't happen, and that was, it felt empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was a very good experience.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so there's so many things that got sparked by the conversation this morning that I feel like I could just kind of keep spinning off of all the things that, but essentially I think that sort of covers it for now, and the what's available when we stop trying, when we get mm-hmm. out of, when we can see through conditioning enough to step aside from it and then receive what's available.
Yeah, and then kind of, you know, another sub-theme from the morning so far is what's possible when we're willing.
Yeah.
When we're willing to choose our freedom and the end of suffering instead of conditioning in response to an opportunity to make that choice.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, so I really enjoyed yesterday, the guy who was talking about curiosity. Was that only yesterday? Night before last.
Mm-hmm.
That curiosity, okay, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
What's next? This is really interesting.
This is going to be really interesting.
Yeah,
that's the only constant, I think.
Yeah,
this is
yes.
really interesting.
No reason to be bored.
Mm-hmm. Michael.
So thinking about being properly motivated, which is a term I heard in a group I belong to in my past, being properly motivated is like, well, I'm not going to do something that might benefit me in some way unless my hair's on fire type thing. So we have this proper motivation of we can't eat unless we write a tweet. And so what I'm finding, the thing that in order for me to write a tweet, a lot of times I have to, it's like the I've just gone through this work period in which my hair has caught on fire. I got a person with his hair caught on fire can't write a tweet that's going to be inspirational or uplifting or things that are good, make for good tweet writing. So I have been turning to this practice of I breathe in willingness and I breathe out inspiration. Mm-hmm. And I, so I stand there with a pen and a piece of paper in my hand because I can't write a tweet right now. Mm-hmm. I do that. And then what I'm finding is that the whole context, kind of the whole, everything, the whole morning, or if it's the morning or whatever, shifts so that I've been moved into a different place. Mm-hmm. And so just the simple act of breathing, just the simple act of saying those words is it seems like a form of mentoring. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, and the thing is, so here's, one might think that proper motivation would be a morning of hell, which it doesn't have to be necessarily, or isn't always. What's interesting is that what I'm finding is a practice that's really assisting me through this other thing. So I'm finding, oh, this is, I could probably just do this without needing to do it to write a tweet.
Mm-hmm. And more motivating, I bet you, than pain and unhappiness. I may have been misinterpreting what you're saying, but I think what you mean by proper motivation is it gets bad enough that you're finally willing to do whatever it is you need to do. But my experience anyway, a lot more motivation in the beauty of inspiration and how good that feels and how much fun there is there.
Yeah. Yes, but something that works can motivate you mm-hmm. as well. And so the other thing about it that I think this, I kept being reminded of this in the conversation, is that I'm not doing anything. I'm not getting myself out of this place. I'm simply picking up a tool. I practice something, mm-hmm. and then the shift happens.
It's kind of like what was being talked about earlier. It's like drinking water and just kind of doing the necessary things. You're showing up. You're using the tools, mm-hmm. And then life gets over from there. Mm-hmm. But you have to do your part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then oftentimes, all the time I write something and put it in the thing, but, you know, it's like it actually works in a way. And then conditioning, and the proof that it works is that conditioning goes, anyone could have written. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just 2 minutes, anybody wants to take advantage of that?
I had this nice experience the other night. I just want to report. I was in group and something came up, a very familiar, unhelpful, ego-based pattern, and a group of sensations and reactions. And I thought, now who is this? Who gets caught in this? And a couple minutes later, I had this clear sensation of this little 7, 8, 9-year-old me sitting on my lap. And I have a photograph of her. I know just what she looks like. And that's all she did. She just sat there, and I sat there with her, and we were both fine. Mm-hmm. And then when I was walking up the hill afterwards, she got on my back, she was on my back, piggyback. And conditioning kept wanting to come in to talk about this. and I would just, no, we just, mm-hmm. all there was that accompaniment, mm-hmm. and all was well. Mm-hmm. All those sensations went away, all the conversation went away. It was just amazing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's really nothing to talk about.
Nothing to talk about. She just wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was great.
And you let her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I discovered her. Mm-hmm. I mean, I discovered she was on my lap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all.